Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Mem Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our Shiur from the very bottom line of Daf Mem Dalid Omid Beis, where you see a Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we'll take note of the Nosei, the topic heading, that you see in the outside margin. In our Shas Ozir, which is the Gemara that appears on your screen, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we offer titles or topic headings and structural notes that we refer to by the term Mivneh when necessary. In this case, under our topic heading, the Nosei, we have written Mumin Baraglayim. The Mishnah will feature problems, deficiencies, or blemishes, if you will, with regard to the feet of a Kohen. Makish bekarsulov ubearkvoisov. This is a phenomenon of one when walking, his knees or his legs are bent out of shape, so that you can have a situation where his appropriate for this called bowl-legged, where the legs are bent outwards and the ankles are close to one another. When he walks, the ankles sort of bang or rub against each other. If we look in Rashi at the bottom, Hamakish Bekarsulayim She'arkvoisov Akumos Lachutz, his knees are bent outwards, the karsulov, his ankles, lifnim, they are inward. V'noichin ze bozek shu mahalich. U be'arkvoisov hainu ibcho. And the case of arkvoisov, which the Mishnah said makish, there were two cases in the Mishnah, there was makish be'karsulov and makish be'arkvoisov. That's a case where, as Rashi says, it's the opposite of the bowl-legged person. Rather, hainu ibchosh raglov akumos lachutz, where the knees are actually close to one another, and the arkavois of the knees are banging into each other as he walks. U misrachakim ze mize, ach arkavois of mi lemalo ho akumos, until you have a situation where the arkavois of the knees, which are above, are akumos klape pnim, bent inwards, noikshus zu lezu. So the knees are banging into each other, while the legs themselves, the bottoms of his legs, are bent outwards. Those are two problems. Continuing in the mission at the top line of Mem Hei Omet Aleph, Ubal Hapiko V'ho Ikel. Ezehu Ikel. The Mishnah itself explains these two phenomena of Baal Piko and Ikel, and explains as follows. What is an Ikel? Kol Shuhu Makiv Parsoisov V'ein Arkevoisov Noshkos Zu Lezu. This is a person who attempts to put his legs together and his knees don't touch one another because they're bent outwards. Now, pika is yoytze migudloi. That's where there's an extra growth coming from his thumb. Akevo yoytze lachorov. Another situation or problem is a case where his heel protrudes far back. It sticks out back in toward his back. Rashi explains whereby his foot, or we should say the lower part of his leg, the lower bone, is set in the middle of his foot, so that the foot protrudes behind as far as it does, equidistant to the, as far as it protrudes frontwards. Parsoisov rechovois kishel avos. This is a description of someone whose feet are wide, like that of an avos, often translated as a goose. It's a type of webbed leg. So that what's described here is that the width of the foot and the length of the foot are the same. The Mishnah goes on. Etzba'oisav murkavois zu al zu oi klutois ad haperek. That would be kosher. There's one thing, there's two separate descriptions here. One is a case of etzba'oisav murkavo zu al gavzu, where the fingers or the toes are resting one upon the other, on top of the other. Or there's a case of klutos, where they are actually, they're not separated, the toes are not separated as in a normal fashion, but they're attached, so it depends. Ad haperek, kosher. If it's attached to the middle joint, then it's okay. Lamato min haperek vechotcha kosher. This is a case where the toes are joined till the end of the toe, to the point where the toenail is. Vechotcha, but he cuts it. He separates it through cutting it. That person is kosher. So the case of klutos, you have, if it's klutos till the middle joint, so then it's okay. And if it's klutos till the end, it will be okay if it's cut. Hoysa bo yaseres v'chotcha. If there is an extra, sometimes referred to as an extra digit, or an extra finger, or extra toe, so that's called a yaseres. And if it's cut off, so it depends. Im yesh bo etzem posel. If that which was cut off happened to have a bone in it as well, the extra digit had a bone in it, so he is considered unfit. And Rashi explains, since it had a bone growing in it, now that you cut it off, he's called a mechuser aver. He is missing a limb that he had been created with. The imlav, if it has no bone in it, so kosher, even though it's cut off, he's kosher because it's just considered a little, an extra flap of flesh, which is of no significance. Yeser biyodov uberaglov sheish v'sheish esrim v'arba. If you have a person that is six-fingered and six-toed, in other words, he's got a total of 24 instead of a total of 20, which would be normal. Normal is 10 fingers and 10 toes for a total of 20, but he's got an extra one on each hand and each foot for a total of 24. Rabbi Yehuda machshir v'chachomim poislim. So concerning that, we have a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda allowing it, and the Chachamim disqualifying him. Hasholei b'shtei yadav, someone who is ambidextrous. Rabbi posel, the Chachamim machshirin. The Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. As you can see, we have a frame around the next couple lines. The quoting from the Pasuk, source says, Sheva regel. Ein li elo shever. From the posuk, I would understand only someone that has a broken foot. Ein li elo shever regel. Minayin l'rabois hakishon v'ikel v'hakilbon. Talmud lomar oi shever regel. From where do I know to include these other phenomenon? And we've already seen what the The Kishon is the banging of the legs together. The Makish Bekasuloiv, where as he walks his ankles bang one in the other. The Ikel is something that the Mishnah already described, where he was unable to put his feet together. And the Kilbon, Rashi tells us that's the Pika that the Mishnah referred to. Those are all considered mumin by virtue of the word oi in the pasuk that says oi sheva regel. Tana bale hapikin feha shufnor. The Gemara itself explains this. Amar of Chiyo bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan bal hapikin sheish loi ksosois harbe. The bal pikin, according to the Gemara, is someone that has a very large ankle. Shufnar she'ein lo ksosos kol iker, a person that doesn't have any ankle whatsoever. Piko yoytze migudlo ve'akevo yoytze lachorov. From the Mishnah we saw the piko was a extra a growth from his thumb, and Akevo Yotze Lachorov was a case where the leg was positioned in the middle of the foot. Omer Belozer Shoko Yotze Be'emsa Raglo. The shok is the bottom bone of one's leg from the knee down. That joint from the knee till the ankle is called the shok, and it's positioned in the middle of his foot. That is a problem that the Mishnah calls Akevo Yotze Lachorov. Parsoisov Ruchovos Kishel Avos. Now, in explaining this, the Gemara says, Omar of Papa, Lo Tema de Trifa Velo Siddika. The psul, the disqualifying feature of this case of a foot that looks like that of a goose, doesn't have to be described as thin, like a thin leg, a thin foot, that is, very thin, flattened out, thin foot. And also, lo stiko means without separate toes, which would be really similar to that of a webbed foot of an avos. Elo, kevon de trifo, afagav de stiko. Even as long as there will be a problem, as long as it has just one of the characteristics, namely it's very thin, very flat and thin, like a goose leg, even if the fingers or the toes are pronounced. Etzbois of Murkovois zu al gavzu oi klutois. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that focuses on the hands of an individual, of a Kohen in this case. Shever Yad. Ein li elo shever yad. From that I would know only a broken arm. Etzbois murkovois oi klutois lamalo min haperek. There's a bracket that we've included here for to preserve a smooth reading, that the we say here that klutos lamalo haperek, skipping a couple words, veloi chotchon minayin. Let us say you have either the etzbos murkovos, where the fingers are not spread apart from one another, but are actually lying one on the other, or they are not, they're klutos, they're attached to one another till the area of the fingernail. That if and he doesn't cut them, he doesn't separate them. From where do I know that would be possible? Talmud Loimar Oy Shever Yad. Now let's go over the source, and realizing that which we skipped was an imperfect expression, and the Gemara had to fix it. But now, for the sake of completion, let's go over it, realizing that there will have to be a correction. So the source is looking, this Tanaic source is looking for a scriptural reference, for a reference in the Pasuk regarding fingers that are attached. So it says at the beginning of the line, O klutos lamalo min haperek ve chotchon. How do I know that that would be pasul, where the fingers have been attached till the tip of the finger, where the fingernail is, and then he cut it, separated. So from where would I know that that's pasul? That's disqualified. So to that, the Gemara asks, how can you say the chatchon is not kosher, is not qualified? V'amris kosher. But we said in the Mishnah that if he cuts them, if he separates the fingers, so he's acceptable to serve as a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. Elo, so the correct version is v'lo chatchon minayin. From where do I know that if the fingers are attached and they have not been separated, that he would be disqualified? Talmud lomar oi shever yad. The oi, that word is including these additional cases beyond the case of the actual broken arm. Hoisaboy yaseres bechotcha im yesh ba etzem pasul v'im lav kosher. The Mishnah had said if there is an extra digit and it was cut off, well, it depends. If there had been a bone in it, then he is considered disqualified, and if not, he's okay. Omar Rabba Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan v'hu shenisperes al gav hayad. We are talking about this extra digit that would have appeared in the same row, and hence one would have counted it along with his other fingers. Regarding that case, we say that it could have been considered an extra limb had there been a bone in it. But you need to have this additional feature, not only the presence of the bone, but that it would have been along the same row as his other fingers. Before going further in our Gemara, just let us take note of the fact that we have a topic heading accompanying this sugya. We have written under our nosei yaseres, that's a reference to this extra digit, nisperes al gav hayad, it's one point that we just mentioned, and yesh or ein bo etzem, yes or with or without a bone. This is part of the discussion. Nafkamina legabi tumas ohel. There's also a practical nafgamina, practical halachic ramification, legal ramification, regarding ritual impurity imparted when being under the same overhang known as tumas ohel. Let us go on in the Gemara for further details. Tonu Rabbanan yisera shiyesh ba etzem v'ein ba tziporen. This extra digit that has a bone, but there's no fingernail on it, mitame b'magav v'masa u'mitame b'ohel, it communicates tuma through magav, touch, masa through being carried, or mitame b'ohel being under the same overhang or in the same room, v'oila l'minyan kuf chaf hei, which is 125, and 125 representing the majority when looking at the number 248, which represents the number of bones in a person. And we say that there is tumas ohel, that even though a singular bone, for example, does not communicate tumas ohel, if you have the majority of bones, of human bones, the majority of a person's bones in the same location, they will communicate tumas ohel. So this yaseres can be considered we'll call it one or part of the counting until you get to 125. Omar Rabo Barbarchana Om Rabbi Yochanan Uvenisperis al Gav Hayad. The treatment of the yaseres as a serious limb is only if it had been originally, when on the person, counted along with the other fingers. In other words, appearing as along the same row. Omar Rav Chista, Dovar ze Rabbeinu Hagodo Omro Hamokom Yeh Be'ozro. The following was said by the great rabbi, and the Almighty, the Hamokom is the Almighty, should be at his assistance. Yaseres shiyesh bo etzem v'ein bo tziporen. an extra digit that has a bone but has no fingernail, mitame b'mago v'maso, v'ein mitame b'oil. It communicates tumah through touch and support or carriage, but not through being under the same overhang, the tumas ohel. Omar rabo barachan om Rabbi Yochanan ubesheino nisperes al gav hayad. And that this point that it's not mitame b'oil, which is different than that which was said in the source. The source said that there is tumas ohel. Well, the reason for the difference is because, as Rabbo Barachana qualifies, because it's not counted along with the rest of the fingers. It's not along the same row, and therefore it's it doesn't have the status of an aver. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, or there's another gears, Omar Rabbi Chanina, Osu Divrehem Kedivrei Nevius. They are saying a halacha as if it's prophecy. Namely, just like a prophet, when he says prophecy, he doesn't give reasons, he just says his prophecy. So too, what we have just heard, namely that extra digit that has a bone in it but no fingernail, it's not metame b'oyel. So the Gemara analyzes what the problem is. Monafshach, either way you look at things, e aver hu, if this yaseres is an aver, is a limb, then boil nami tetame, so then let it communicate tumas ohel as well. The e lav aver hu, and if it's not considered a limb, b'maga uvamaso nami lo letami, so it shouldn't communicate tuma either through touch or through carriage. So to answer this, number one, Omar Rav Huna bar Manoach mishmei de Rav Acha brei de Rav Ika mishum etzem kiseira nagu ba. Don't forget, we describe this extra digit as something, though lacking a fingernail, it has a bone in it, so it's no worse or no less strict or stringent than the way we would deal with a bone the size of a barley grain. And the halacha regarding a bone, which this yaseres has a bone in it, does communicate tuma through mago and maso, just not through oyel. So it conforms to the halacha regarding etzem kisora. A second point, or Papa Omar, a second approach to the issue mentioned above with regard to this yaseres, he says, gzeira she'eino nisperes otu nisperes. This, the fact that there's any tuma at all associated with this case of yaseres that has only that has a bone but no fingernail, so Rav Papa says it's a rabbinic ruling concerning a case of the eino nisperes, which Rabbi Baruchan Rabbi Yochanan said that in this case it's not nisperes al gav hayad, it's not counted along with the other fingers. So we're imposing tuma only because or in anticipation of a similar case that is nisperes al gav hayad, that would appear in the same row, that already being a serious case. So the ruling here is a gzera in anticipation of the case of nisperes al gav hayad. The Gemara asks, Ihochi, if you're telling us that you're treating the eino nisperes in anticipation of the nisperes, so then the case of eino nisperes ba'oyel nami tetamei, then it should also communicate tuma through oyel, just like the nisperes al gav hayad. Once again, if you're paralleling the eino nisperes al gav hayad to the case of nisperes al gav hayad, so then go all the way and say that in addition to tumas mago umaso, there is also tumas oyel. The Gemara answers, of the Rabbanan Hekera, the Rabbanan made a gzera with a noticeable difference, ki hechi de la lisrfu alayhu truma v'kachim. Since, as Rav Papa describes, this is a rabbinic tuma, we don't want a situation where if if contact had been made between this Yaseres and Truma or Kachim, Truma being the tithe given to Kohanim or sacrificial meat, that someone would come and burn those. We don't burn Truma or Kachim unless they've encountered authentic or real or original Tuma, not something that's of a rabbinic origin. So that how will I know to distinguish between the Yaseres She'eino Nisperes Al Gav Yad as opposed to the Yaseres She'nisperes Al Gav Yad? So the distinction is made by declaring that the Eino Nisperes Al Gav Yad, the one that's not counted along with the other fingers, will not communicate Tumas Ohel. That will let people know that we're dealing with something that's of a rabbinic nature, and hence they won't come to burning Truma or Kachim in the case that there is Tuma between this type of Yaseres and those items. Tanan Hosam. The Mishnah says, from Maseches Oyelos, Roiv Binyonoi V'Rov Binyonoi Shomeis, Afal Pi She'ein Bohen Rova Temein. Rov Binyono is a reference to the size of the individual. So Rov of his height. If you have a person that died and you have the bones left from that person, so the bones that account for the majority of his height, or the majority of his bones in number, even if they don't add up to a rova. Rova is a quantity, a quarter of a kav. Even if they don't add up to that quantity, they are metame, they are temeim. Before going further, we have a topic heading, and we call this Nosei, and called also Hemshech. We're continuing in the discussions concerning Tumah, as far as bones are concerned. And it says in under our Nosei heading, Rov Minyan Begever Beisha. We will talk about the majority of Evorim when it comes to a man, and when it comes to a female. That's a male versus female. And we will also encounter in our Gemara, Sfiras Atzamos, the counting of bones, B'maise, from an incident, Sheshalku Zoino Achas, Shenishaiva Srefa Lamelech. The Gemara will report an incident where there was a woman who was practicing harlotry, and the secular authorities, the Gentile authorities, condemned her to death by burning. So here we have a case of we'll call it just an unfortunate woman that is going to be killed anyway by the Gentile authorities. So the Rabbanan took advantage of that situation to do a type of post-mortem, or a post-mortem limb counting, we'll say. After her death, they then boiled her body, which enabled the skin and flesh to be removed easily, and then counted the bones in trying to come to conclusions regarding these areas of halacha of tuma. So our Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanan, Eizehu Roiv Binyono. What is meant by the majority of height of a person's skeleton? Shnei Shokayim V'Yerech Echad. Hayu V'Roiv Goivoy Begodol. The two thigh bones, the two calf bones, the shok, the lower part of the leg, the part from the knee down to the foot, that's the shok, and the yerech, the thigh. So two thigh bone, two calf bones, and one thigh bone. If you have those three, that would be metame ba'oihel, because rov govo begodol, that would constitute the majority of the height of an individual. Ezu rov minyano, what is meant by rov of the number of bones? So the answer to that is kuf chav hei 125. Omalei ravino larova. Tono minyano, also lashminen. Does the Tanna have a need to tell us the number? In other words, everyone knows that a human being has 248 bones, or what's called 248 evorim. So it's obvious that the majority of 248 is 125. So wouldn't it have been sufficient just to say that Rov Minyan is Metameh? And when we speak about Tuma in this particular discussion, we're talking about Tumas Oyel. So we have an answer now. Omar Lei, Ho Komash Malon, Ke Desanya. The number that the source tells us, the 125, tells us the following. It has ramifications for the following case. Kidesanya. Choser. A person who is lacking, who is missing. She'ein bo'elo mosayim. That he has only 200. In other words, we went down from 248 to a person that has only 200. Rashi explains this is a case of a person who is born lacking two fingers and two toes per hand, per foot. So that he's lacking eight fingers, toes from a normal case. And each finger and toe has in it six bones. So that if you take eight times six, you'll get to 48, and that's what he's lacking. So if going down from 248 with this lack, he ends up with 200. The yeser, this is a case where he has extra, extra limbs. Sheesh bo, mosayim, ushmoyne vechod. As a result of the extras, he's got 281. Kulon, oylin, leminyan, kuf chof hei. Either one of these cases, we will say that his bones will metame if there are 125 of them. Maitaimo, why do you say that the number 125 applies across the boards? In other words, if you have someone that has 281 bones, the 125 does not represent the majority. So the answer to that is zil baser ruba dinshi. The halach here is determined by ruba dinshi, the majority of people, not the specific individual, but rather the majority of people. And in the case of the majority of people, 125 accounts for the majority. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Maisa b'talmidov shel Rabbi Shmuel, an incident took place involving the students of Rabbi Shmuel, Shesholku zoino achas, Shenischaiva Srefa Lamelech. Shulku was to boil. They boiled the body of a Zona harlot that had been found guilty and suffering a death penalty at the hands of the king. But so they went ahead and after she had been executed, they went and boiled her body and Bodku Umatsubo Mosayim Vechamishim Ushnayim. And they found 252 bones. Omar Lahem. So he said to them, Shema Bo'isha Badaktem. Maybe you found 252 as opposed to 248 because you were dealing with the body of a woman. And Shehoisif Lohakosuv, the lady, the female, has more than a male. And so in as far as the Pasuk adds, above the 248, the following. Shnei tzirim, ushnei delosos. Two tzirim. Tzirim is translated often as a hinge, as is the case of a door. It's the door swings on a tzir, and two doors. So that's an additional four limbs. So from you take 248 and add four, you get to 252. Tanya, Reb Elozer, Omer, Kishem, Shitzirim, Labayas, Kach, Tzirim, Lisha. Just like a house has hinges, so too a woman's body has hinges. And these extra features, as you can probably guess, have to do with the reproductive aspect that a woman has, that a female has, not present in a male. Now, these tzirim are alluded to in the pasuk shenema v'tichra v'teled, and the she crouched in order to give birth. Kinefchu aleo tzireha. So you see a reference to the woman in childbirth having her tzirim have been turned over. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Kishem Shedalsus Labayas Kavdalsus Isha. Just like a house has doors, so too a woman has doors. Shenemar Kiloi Sogar Dalse Bitni. So the reference to doors with regard to a woman is mentioned. Rabbi Hiva Omer, Kishem Shemafteach Labayas Kach Mafteach Lisha. Rabbi Hiva adds one more to the additional limbs of a woman, and it's called a mafteach, a key. Just like a house has a key to it, so to a woman. Shenemar, vayiftach es rachmo. The Gemara now goes on focusing on Rabbi Akiva, who added an extra number above the four that we had referred to above. So the Gemara asks the Rabbi Akiva, Kashit Tamidid Rabbi Yishmael. According to Rabbi Akiva, that there is also a Mafteach, then shouldn't there be, in addition to the two doors and two hinges, shouldn't there be a fifth addition? And that would pose a problem for the number 252 that the students of Rabbi Yishmael came out with. It should be 253. So the Gemara answers, Dilma Aidi de Zutra, since this Maftech is a very small limb, Asmuchi Mismach, that in the boiling that the harlot body experienced, it simply melted or decomposed, so that they didn't find it in their counting. But nevertheless, it still is something that was there. Omar Rava, V'kulon ein metamin ba'oihel. When referring to these extra bones that a woman has, so they are not going to be responsible for tumas ohel. Shenemar, zois hatora odom ki yomus ba'oihel. That's the pasuk that addresses the issue of tumas meis, dover hashav lechol adam, something that is present by all people, by males and females as well, so that these dalsos and tzirim would not contribute to tumas oihel as would any of the as opposed to the other limbs. The Rashi adds here, and this is very important. Rashi at the bottom says, "Kulan kol hayaserin halolo shebeisha ein mitamin beoyel ho'ever b'fnei atzmo shi'esh olav boser k'tzas." In order for us to talk about tumas ohel in the first place, if you're dealing with a individual bones, we saw already they would not be mitame beoyel. What would be if the individual bones have a little bit of meat on them, a little bit of flesh on them? So when you have a bone together with flesh, that is something that would be capable of communicating tumas ohel. However, these particular limbs, the dalsos, tzirim, and mafteach, even though they have a little bit of flesh attached to them, they would not be mitama ba'ohel. My assumption in the reading this Rashi, and we've dashed underlined it in our Shas Ozer, the word ktsas is indicative of something less than an olive quantity of flesh, because once you have an olive quantity of flesh of a dead person, that is mitame boel, based on the halach of kezayis min hames. So here we're describing a case where you don't have a kezayis of flesh by itself. When in another situation, if you had an aver, a bone with a little bit of flesh attached to it, because it has as the status of an aver, it would have been metame boel. Not so in the case of these five extra limbs or appendages that a woman has that a man does not. The Gemara continues, Omar le Abaye. Abaye challenges what we've said till now by asking, Ubeish leko. Are these characteristic of a woman, these five, the dalsus and the tzirim by a woman alone, by a female, not by a male? V'hoksiv. The pasuk describing a male says, Tzirim achazuni ketzire yoleda. I am possessed by tzirim like that of a woman in childbirth. So the Gemara answers, tzire bosar. If that's a reference to tzirim that are made of flesh alone, not bones. V'hoksiv. Adoni b'mar'o nevchu tzirai. What about this pasuk? Also a reference to a man having tzirim. Hocho nami tzirei basar. So too, this pasuk is to be understood as tzirim made of flesh, not bone. Hochi nami mistabra, and it is likely that we're talking about tzirei basar. The lo tema hochi. Because if you don't agree with that, if you don't say that it's limited to flesh, but they actually are reference to bones as well, then Mosayim Arboim Ushmoine Hechi Mishkachas Law. Where will you ever have 248? Lo Beish Velo Beisha, not in a male nor in a female. So it obviously has to be explained, since we know that the number 248 has relevance with regard to the number of bones. We're going to have to say that the reference to the tzirim mentioned just now were not bone oriented, because here we were dealing with a male. We continue at the top of Mem Hei Omid Beis. Yeser biyodov uberaglov. The Mishnah went on to say, Sheish, Sheish, Esrim, Va'arba'o, Rebuta, Machshir, Va'chachomim, Poslim. We saw a Tanaic controversy concerning an individual that had six fingers and toes on each hand and foot. And as far as that's concerned, Rabbi Yehuda says he's acceptable. He's for serving as a kohen, and the chachamim disagreed. Om Rabbi Yitzchok u'shneim mikro echadorshu. Both Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim were based on the same pasuk. The pasuk says. And actually, before we go any further in the Gemara, let's just glance at our topic heading, the Nosei, you see in the outside margin. Sheish etzbos b'chol yad v'regel, the six fingers on each hand and foot. The ti'uro shel gibor plishti shekach hoyolo, and a description of a Philistine warrior that happened to have, in fact, the extra digit on each hand and foot. So we're saying now in our Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim that argue about this 24 finger-toed individual, whether he's kosher or not, are arguing or focusing on the same pasuk and reaching their respective conclusions. The pasuk says, "Vati oid milchama begas, vahi ish modoin." Ve'etzbois yodov, ve'etzbois raglov, sheish v'sheish, esrim v'arba mispar. The pasuk describes a Philistine warrior that had 24 fingers and toes. Mor sovar beginuse mishtoikro. The chachomim were of the opinion that this pasuk is describing in a derogatory fashion. In a negative fashion, a defaming way. More Savar Rabbi Yehuda says Bishvache Mishtoikra. The pasuk was praising him as a powerful and awesome opponent, and hence you have this difference between the Chachamim who said Bikinuse, and therefore a Kohen that has this phenomenon would be unfit, and Rabbi Yehuda who says the pasuk was praising him, so. Likewise, a Kohen that had this phenomenon would be acceptable for service in the Beis HaMikdash. Omar Rava. Lonali de Kosav Sheish Vosheish Esrim V'Arba Mispar. Why this detail in the Pasuk mentioning six on each hand and foot? And then mentioning a total of 24. Superficially, we would have been able to come to this conclusion on our own. So the Gemara explains, Tzrichi, this detail was necessary. De'i kosav rachmona sheish moshesh, had the posuk just said six and six, havamino shis diodei v'shis dekarei, that that's a reference to six as far as his hands are concerned, and six with regard to his feet. And only on one hand he had six, and only one foot did he have six, not on both. Kosav, therefore, the pasuk said, Esrim va'arba'ah, a total of 24, so that the reference in the pasuk of six and six was a reference to each hand and each foot. V'i kosav esrim va'arba, had the pasuk written just the total, namely 24, have amino chomesh b'ha v'sheva b'ha, that he was a person with five on one hand and seven fingers on the other hand, or five on one foot and seven on the other foot. Kosav sheish v'sheish, therefore, the pasuk added sheish v'sheish to show that it was an equal number on each hand and foot. The word mispar that the pasuk mentioned, it tells us benisperes al gav hayad, that these extra fingers and toes appeared in the same row as the rest of his fingers and toes. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Bada Mechot Shebol Lefnei Rebbe Tarfon, an incident involved a person, and we should point out that Rabbi Yehuda is the opinion that says that this Yeser case of six on each hand and foot is kosher. So an incident like this, Rabbi Yehuda reports, happened, where a person came like that to Rabbi Tarfon. Yeser Bielav Ubaraglav, Sheish Sheish Esrim Va'arba, six on each hand and foot, a total of 24. Omar Lo, and Rabbi Tarfon said, Kamoso Yirba Yisrael, it should only be that more like you should be found amongst Israel. Omar Lo Rabbi Yossi responds to Rabbi Yehuda and says, Misham Raya, are you trying to strengthen your position from that incident? Kach Omar Lo, rather, Rabbi Yossi says, no. Thusly, Rabbi Tarfon said, Kamoscha Yismatu Mamzeri Unesini Miyisrael, that people like you, if they would be mamzerim, so there would be less and less mamzerim in Israel. So let us take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. The lower part of the page, you can see the third line of the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary. Mishom Raya, Dolo Omar Le Kamoscha Yirbu Mishom Shvacha. Rabbi Tarfon, when he said there should be more of you, wasn't saying this from a standpoint of praise. Elo Kach Omar Le. Rather, thusly, he was saying, Kamoscha Yarbu Etzbos Yiseros Bimamzeri Unesini Shiv Yisrael. All those who are illegitimate, who are born from forbidden marriages, they should all be born, it should only be halavai, they should all be born with extra digits. Kadesh yu nikorim, so that they would be obvious, the yismatu, and that would result in the disappearance of illegitimates. She yifreshu Yisrael mehen, milithatein bohem, they would have a walking bodily sign on them that they are illegitimate, and hence people, kosher Jews, would not marry them, which would result, if they would marry Mamzera, continuing the lineage of Mamzerus. So as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, the Rabbi Tarfon reaction here wasn't one of joy and praise. Continuing in the Gemara, which has also a topic heading, the Nosei, we mention here Iter. Iter is a word referring to a left-handed individual, and Sholeit B'Shtei Yodov, ambidextrous. So our Gemara, HaSholeit B'Shtei Yodov, Rebbe Posel, and the Chachamim Machshirin. That's a reference to someone who was ambidextrous. Concerning that, we have a machlokes tanoim. Tono Rabbonan, a Tanaic source on this topic, says, Iter, a left-handed individual, Bain biad, Bain berega, whether he be left-handed with regard to hand use or foot use. Puzzle. And Rashi explains, left-footedness is a situation where a person, as he, let's say, gets up from a seated position and takes his first step, the left-footed individual will take his first step with his left foot, which is unlike the majority of people that take their first step using their right foot. Hasholeit b'shtei yadav, the person who has control over both of his hands, which we call ambidextrous, Rebbe posel v'chachomim machshirin. Rebbe feels is not qualified. That's considered a problem, a lacking, and the Chachamim say he's okay, it's kosher. Now, the explanation, Mor Sovar, Rebbe who says he's disqualified, Kechishusa Aschal Ole B'yamin, the reason that both hands are of equal strength is because his right hand, which normally is the one in control, is weakened. It's kichishusak. It has to do with weakness. So that's characteristic of a deficiency, and hence he's disqualified. Well, more so, the Chachamim, looking at the same situation, say he's kosher because b'yusa yaserta aschol alei b'smoil. There's no deficiency here. Simply, his left hand, which ordinarily is weaker, happens to have an extra amount of strength to it, making it equal to the right hand, and hence he is an ambidextrous. So as far as the Chachamim are concerned, he's kosher. The Mishnah. Hakushi, Hagichor, Valavkon. These will be explained in the Gemara. Vakipeach, Vahananos. That too will be referred to in the Gemara. Kipeach having to do with someone of extraordinary height, and Nanos, a dwarf. Vahacherish, Vashoite, the mute and the insane or imbecile, vashikor, drunk, ubali, negoyim, tahorim, someone whose skin is discolored. But if you were dealing with the realm of negoyim, it wouldn't have made him tome. It's pointed out that if a person had negoyim that were tome, he wouldn't be allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash in the first place. Here we're describing someone who is not prohibited from entering the Beis HaMikdash, but as a result of these negoyim tahurim, he's unfit to serve as a kohen. And hence the Mishnah says, psulin b'adam, uksherim b'behema. If these phenomenon would be present by an animal, the animal would be acceptable as a sacrifice. Hence these are characteristics that render a person only alone, as opposed to an animal, unfit. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shoyte bebehemo eino min hamuvchar. An animal that shows signs of being a shoyte, imbecilic, would be a non-choice offering. Rav Elazar Omer, Af balei hatiltulin psulin ba'odam uksherit bebehemo. Balei hatiltulin, Rashi says, are kemin chatichos boser yoitzis v'tolos lahem. Extra flaps of skin or flesh that hang forth from a person renders him unfit, which would not be the case of an animal with extra flaps of skin or flesh. Now, the Mishnah, the Gemara refers to the terms mentioned in the Mishnah, and we, as far as this little section of Gemara, we've given it a title of Psule Odo Machmas Tseva, disqualifying features of a person as a result of color. Kushi is uchma. Kushi is a reference. Uchma means black. Gichor, chivra. Chivra is white. Lavkon, sumka, is red. Eini is this translation to be relied on. There was once an incident where someone was saying, man boi luvkiani. Who wants luvkiani? And so this person was selling sheep and announcing, who wants luvkiani sheep? Vishtakach chivra. When we noticed what he was trying to sell. It turned out to be white ones and not red ones. So we take a reaccounting of our translations. Ela Kushi equals Uchma. That remains the same. Kushi is associated with black. Gichor is Sumka. Gichor is a reference to redness. Kidamri and she Sumka Gichya. As people say, they use the word Gichya in conjunction with Sumka. And Sumka we know is red. Lavkon is Chivra. The Lavkon is a reference to whiteness, or paleness, or whiteness. Kiahu the Amar Lahu. Man boy lufkiani vishtakach chivri. Like in the incident just mentioned, where someone was announcing who wants lufkiani, and it turned out that he was selling white sheep. Kipeach, toni ravzvid, govoa, extraordinary height. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that we call under our nosei psul machmas gova, a disqualification because of something height related. And we'll referring to the kipeach, and the Gemara will also go on with etzos recommendations shelo yitchatnu shnei anoshim im oisam nesunim kitzoniim, that two people, male and female, who both have these extreme characteristics should not mate with one another, and we'll see why as we go on in the Gemara. So now our Gemara focusing on the kipeach. Rav Zvid has a teaching that says govoa, kipeach means tall. The Gemara asks, "Eini, is that really a problem? Is that a disqualifying feature?" V'ha'omar Rabbi Avo, minayin shakodesh baruch hu mishtabech bebalei koma. From where do we see that the Kodesh Baruch Hu describes in a praiseworthy fashion people of height? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Va'anochi hishmadeti esho emori mipneim asher kigoyva arozim gavoi." The Almighty says that I destroyed the Amorites who were very tall, so that the pasuk is showing how the very tall would be a fearsome opponent, something of praise in terms of might and awe. Omar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa answers, we have to resolve how is it that on the one hand Kipeach and Rav Zvid explains Kipeach as tall as a disqualifying feature, a type of blemish, when the Pasuk itself describes the tall like the Arozim, which is a type of tree, a tall tree, is something described as praiseworthy. Omar Rav Papa, Be'aricha Shmita Sanya. Let us glance at the Rabbeinu Gershom. Toward the end of his narrow line commentary, he says, "Baricha shmuta sanya, oruch, tall or long, vedak, very thin, upartsufa boled harbe lachutz," and as a result of this, of his thinness, his face protrudes quite a bit forward, the sonui hu liros. And it's unpleasant to look at a person like that, this extremely, extremely thin individual that happens to be very tall as a result of his thinness. So his face seems to protrude very far forward. The Gemara continues, Omar Reish Lakish. And you'll see here, we've listed off four cases of recommendations of non-marriage. Gavoa lo yisogavois, a male who's very tall should not marry a woman who's likewise very tall. Shemo yetze mehen toren, the offspring will be like a toren, a mast of a ship. There is a description of something very tall. Nanos lo yisonanesis, a dwarf man should not marry a dwarf woman. Shemo yetze mehem etzboi. The word etzboi means a finger, just reminds us of the character Tom Thumb. One understands that two midgets or dwarfs should not marry one another because the resultant offspring will be even shorter. Lavon lo yisa levona, two extremely pale individuals should not marry. Shema yetzemen boak. Boak is an extreme white complexion. It's also associated with negoyim. Shochor lo yisa shchora. two extremely dark complexion individuals should not mate. Shemo yetze mehem tafiach. Tafiach is an expression referring to a pot. A pot, as it sits on a fire, accumulates a carbon accumulation takes place and results in blackness. So it's a term referring to blackness. Hacheresh hashoitev hashikor. The Mishnah listed these as being types of mumin. And it's important to note, we haven't made a major point of this along the way, but this perek features primarily mumin that are what's begetter eno shava bizarashon. We discussed this at the opening of the perek. There are three different categories of blemishes, but what we need to emphasize right now is that the blemishes discussed here are blemishes that if he would serve, he would be in violation of a positive command, in violation of an assay, but it would not result in the spoiling or the ruination of the sacrifice that he is processing. In other words, he's not mechalal the avoda. So that in the context of the different shortcomings featured here, shikor is mentioned, and we would conclude that the shikor is not mechalal avoda. But that raises a major question. So the Gemara asks, Shikor, are you saying the Shikor is like these other blemishes? But Mochil Avoda, he is Mechalel Avoda. A Shikor is Mechalel Avoda. He renders his temple service unfit. Bechadi Mumi de Mechili Avoda Boy Lemichshav. Shikor should have been included in those Mumin that result in the ruination of the service of the korban of the sacrifice that he's working on. So the Gemara answers, you know why shikor is mentioned here, when we know at the same time that shikor is mechalal avoda, because this shikor is not the shikor that is referenced there. Bishar dvaram hamashakrin udalo kriv Yehuda. When we speak about a shikor as being mechal avoda, that's only if he drinks wine. Wine being something that causes intoxication. However, if he would drink other substances that would result in his becoming drunk, this Mishnah is of the opinion that it would not result in chilul avoda. Now, that point is not in conformity to Rabbi Yehuda. We have a machlokes tanoim where Rabbi Yehuda holds that not only wine results in chilul avoda, but other substances, other items that result in intoxication, likewise cause chilul avoda. Desanya, ochal dvelo kirilis v'shoso cholav udvash. If a person ate this food called dvelo kirilis, It's a type of pressed figs, and drank milk or honey. It might be a beverage that's made from honey, a type of honey liquor, and then served in the Beis HaMikdash. He would be chayav. He would be guilty of mechalal avoda. Well, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. These substances also result in a sense of intoxication. However, our Mishnah that says shikor is amongst those things that are not mechal avoda, we're talking about a shikor that ate the dvela kilis, or he drank milk and then served, though being intoxicated, our mission is of the opinion, unlike that of Rabbi Yehuda, that it would not result in chilul avoda. Eilu ksherim ba'adam upsulin bebehema. The following are acceptable when it comes to a kohen, but would be unacceptable with regard to an animal sacrifice. Oisei vespenoi utrefo v'yotze doifen. Oisei vespeno, in the case of an animal, that's a situation where you have a parent and offspring, a mother and child were slaughtered on the same day. So if on any given day one of them are slaughtered, let's say the child is slaughtered, so it would be forbidden to offer the mother on the same day as a sacrifice as well. That's osa vespino. That's as far as animal sacrifices are concerned. Trefa is something that most of you are familiar with. It's an organ deficiency that the Mishnah in Chulin lists a number of trefos. Not every problem means it's a trefo. There are specific organs that, if they develop holes in them or are lacking, result in a trefo category. So if that is the case by an animal, it would disqualify it as a sacrifice, and not so in the case of a person. The Yotze Doifen, that which was born through a C-section, a cesarean birth. In the case of an animal, it's unfit to be brought as a sacrifice, but a Kohen, who happened to have been born as a Yotze Doifen, he is acceptable. Hanose noshim ba'avera posel ad shi'adireno hano. Someone who, a Kohen who married women that he is not allowed to marry. For example, a Kohen is forbidden to marry a grusha, a divorcee, or a chalutza. There she's also midrabanan, a woman who participated in the shoe removal ceremony. In the case of a yavoma whose brother-in-law did not want to marry her. So a man who's married to ladies like that, he's unfit to serve until he vows not to benefit from her. Vametame lemesim posel ad shikabalov shelo yehe metame lemesim. Someone who, a Kohen who is accustomed to exposing himself to tumas mes, and a Kohen is forbidden to expose himself to this type of ritual impurity that's as a result of contact or being in the same under the same overhang as a corpse. So he too is unacceptable to serve in the Beis HaMikdash until he accepts upon himself not to practice or expose himself to that tumah. Elu ksherin ba'adam v'chulei. Amongst the different things mentioned in the Mishnah as being acceptable by in the case of a Kohen is the case of Oisov Espanoi. Here the Gemara will go through several stages in trying to figure out what is meant by that. Under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you can see we have a trapezoid, or we refer to it as the volcano shape, and indicate these are nisyonos, these are attempts, lahazbir, to explain mahu oisoi v'esbenoi ba'odom, what is meant by oisoi v'esbeno when dealing with koihanim. We said that oisoi v'esbeno with regard to animal sacrifices is a case where you slaughtered one, a parent or offspring, so the other one cannot be offered as a sacrifice on the same day. That's a form of mechusar zman, so that if you slaughtered a mother animal, you cannot bring as a sacrifice her offspring on that same day. What the Mishnah at the same time says that the case of osu v'esmo is acceptable by kahuna. Obviously, we're not talking about slaughtering of human beings, so what do you mean by that? So these volcano shapes, as you scan ahead in the Gemara, represent stages in analyzing this. My osoi ve'esbeno. What is osoi ve'esbeno with regard to a person, with regard to the kahuna? Idlemo aroin uvnoi. If you're trying to say, Aaron being the example of the first Kohen, a Kohen and his son, that they are allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash together. Because we're saying that Osav Espino does not apply, is not a deficiency or a disqualifying factor by people, by Kohanim. So are you telling me that this is saying father and son can serve together? Well, maybe. The Kavos say then the parallel of that would be in the case of the animal Tayish Ubno, a male sheep and its offspring. Well, is that what you want to say? And that you want to say that Osov Espino would be a case of father, animal, and offspring? Yeah, but Mi Noyig is the din, the law of, or the restrictive law of Oisiv Ismail binding with regard to father and offspring? The Ha Tanya, we have the following Tanaic source that says Oisiv Ismail noig b'nei kevas ve'eino noig b'zachorim. The restriction of Oisiv Ismail only applies to mother and child, not to father, animal, and child. Ella. So if that be the case, well, when you focus on animals, it would have to be Taisha Ubanah. the Oso Vespinos situation is a reference to a female. Taishov is a female goat. We said sheep before, but it would be more accurate to say goat. Goat and her offspring. Well, the Kavos saw the parallel then by person that is okay would have to be Kehenes Ubina, a mother who is the daughter of a Kohen, and her son. Well, but Kehenes Bas Avodahi is a female, is a woman, a lady Kohen, someone who is qualified to serve in the Beis HaMikdash in the first place? No. So we still don't have a case where we can speak about Oso Vesmeno and contrast Kohanim versus animals. L'Oilom Aron Uvno. We are talking about the man, the father and son, Kohanim, serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Dikavosa Hocha Tayesh Uvno. And the parallel case when it comes to animals would be father, animal, and its offspring. Now we said, since when is that a problem? And as the Mishnah says that it would be possible by Behema, so since when is that a problem? Amri b'marova mishmeid Rabbi Yossi bar Oven, it was said in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Oda Amro, which is like saying Zosomers, this shows us, Chananyahi, that our Mishnah that says that Oso Vespino is a problem by Behema, and we have to be speaking about father animal and offspring, this is in accordance with Chananya. The Sanya, we have the following Tanaic source. Oisev Esbenoi, Nohig Benekevis, V'eno Nohig Bezachorim. Chananya Omer, Nohig Bezachorim Ubenekevis. Here we've emphasized with our dashed underlining that which is relevant to our discussion. It is according to Chananya, though, that we see that the restriction of Oso Vespino applies to the slaughter of a father animal and its offspring on the same day. So that being the case, our Mishnah is in accordance with Chananya, and hence we have found the contrasting case between Kehanim, Oso Vespino, versus animals, Oso Vespino. Vanose Noshim V'chulei. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that accompanies this, and we have written as follows. Eich neder mo'il benosa isha bavera. Our Mishnah had said that if a man had married a woman unlawfully, in other words, a Kohen who is not allowed to marry a divorcee, he went ahead and did. So we say that he's unfit to serve as a Kohen until he vows not to benefit from her. Well, our question here is going to be, how is the vow effective? Hare neder efshir lish'olalov. A vow can be rescinded by the person who made the vow approaching a scholar and saying that he wants to have his vow undone. It gets undone. So how is this a method of ensuring that he will divorce his wife when we see that vows can be undone? The Gemara. Vanose noshim v'chulei tona noder. He vows to forswear benefiting from her. And the oved, he serves as a kohen. Yored, he finishes his service. Umegarish, and then divorces her. So what do we see? We see that from the point that he vowed, that is enough to enable him to return to his service in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks, "V'lechosh dilma ozil legabi chacham v'sharile?" Why not suspect that after he vows, he will go to a chacham and undo the vow? So how can we be taught that by as soon as he takes his vow, he can continue, he can then go and continue his service in the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe this vow will eventually be undone, and you'll be back at square one, where you have a Kohen who's married unlawfully, doing avoda. The Gemara answers, we are not going to suspect his undoing the vow, kosovar, because we are of the opinion, tzorech lefareit es haneder, that a person, in order to achieve the annulling of the vow, he has to specify
the circumstances behind his having taken the vow. Why did he take the vow in the first place? And when the chacham, when the sage hears that he had taken the vow because he had married an unlawful wife, he won't undo the vow. So there's no reason to fear the undoing of the vow. So reading that last phrase again, Kosovar tzorach lefarei es haneder, he has to specify the circumstances under his having vowed. So the Gemara goes on to say, Honi cholamadam tzorach lefarei. This works out according to the opinion that says in vow annulment, the one taking the vow has to specify the circumstances. However, elo lamanda omar ain't tzorach lefarei es haneder. According to the opinion that says he doesn't have to specify the circumstances, in other words, he can, by going to the chacham, can say, I have a vow that I took, and I need to have it undone, and it can be undone, it can be annulled, even without his needing to specify the circumstances under which he had taken it in the first place. So then, my ikol lemeimar, what is there to say? In other words, how can we allow him to serve after having simply vowed to forswear benefit from her? Isn't there the chashash he'll go to a chacham and he will annul the vow? Answer: De madrina le berabim. When we tell this kohen who married his unlawful wife, who married the divorcee, we say that you must take the vow in public. This vow that not to benefit from her must be taken publicly. Well, is that really a solution? This will be a good solution according to the opinion that says a vow taken in public cannot be rescinded. But according to the opinion that says even publicly taken vows can be annulled, well, then what are you going to say? Where once again, the problem arises. Isn't there a fear that he'll, even though he's vowed, he will undo the vow, stay with his unlawful wife, and in the meantime continue doing avodah? So the Gemara answers, well, according to this opinion, that a publicly taken vow has hafora is de madrinon le adas rabin. That it's not a vow that's simply taken in the presence of others, but it's done with the approval of others. That it's with public approval that he is vowing. The Omar Amimar, The law is that even according to the opinion that says a publicly taken vow has a potential for being annulled, how al das harabim, a vow that's taken with public approval, ein loy hafora, that cannot be undone. And now the Gemara goes on to qualify this last point with a general halacha, not referring to our situation specifically, but in general, when you say that al das rabim has no hafora, cannot be rescinded, b'hani mili v'dvar harashus. That's when the need, let us say, to annul the vow would be a matter of something optional, avol l'dvar mitzvah. If the need to annul the vow concerns mitzvah performance, yesh lo hafora, then even a vow taken al das rabim can be undone. And to illustrate that point, the Gemara tells us a story. Ki hahu mikri dardiki. There was a case of a teacher of children. Dardiki or children. So makri dardiki, the teacher of children. The adre Rav Acha had vowed that he shall not continue in his role, in his job. Why? The posha bianuki. Rashi explains, posha bianuki, malke oisam umesim. He used to beat the kids so much so that they would actually die. He was a ferocious educator. And you know what happened? Vahadre Ravina. Ravina reinstated this gentleman to child teacher, the lo ashkach de avedaya kavosei. They couldn't find any instructor as precise and diligent as this individual. so that even though the original vow taken was to ban him from serving as a makrin dariki, and it was taken al das rabim, since they couldn't find a more efficient replacement, he was reinstated. And that's because we're dealing with a devar mitzvah, a matter of teaching Torah to children is not an optional issue, but rather a mitzvah-oriented matter. V'hametamei lemesim, the Mishnah had said that a Kohen who is lax with regard to Tumas Meis cannot serve as a Kohen unless he accepts upon himself to be careful. Mai shno hocha desagi lei b'kabbalah. What is different about this case of Tumas Meis, where it's enough for him to accept upon himself not to be metame? Umai shno hosam, as opposed to the case involving a man marrying women unlawfully, demadrinonle, that we subject him to an actual vow. Why the difference? So the Gemara answers, Hosom Yitzro Tokfo. When it comes to matters concerning women, you have this additional consideration, namely the evil inclination. In other words, temptation to violate matters involving relations with women is much greater, that temptation is much greater than his violation of rules concerning ritual impurity. And hence, in order to counter this additional force and temptation, we insist on his taking a vow, which carries with it much more seriousness than a mere acceptance, as is the case with Tumas Meis. With that, we not only conclude the shiur, but the perek as well.